Hi, it's Dave. There's a lot of news going around right now about the coronavirus. It's everywhere. And there's a lot of confusion as well. In this video, I want to share my thoughts on the coronavirus and what we can do to be prepared. All right, first off, the coronavirus situation is changing on a daily basis, and there's new information and new data coming out. And so my information right now, or my opinions at this point, is just a snapshot. It's just what I think at this moment. And by no means am I claiming to be an expert. Rather, I'm just collecting and processing various data and thinking about it from different angles. That said, if you want to be updated more on my current thoughts on coronavirus, please follow my Twitter account at HeyDave7, and you can do that in the Twitter app. All right, so let's go ahead and jump in and look at what's going on with coronavirus. All right, I've jumped over to my computer to look at some of the things happening with coronavirus. Yesterday, we found out that the NBA suspended its entire season. Rudy Gobert and then his teammate Donovan Mitchell were tested positive for coronavirus. And so the NBA just took action to basically cancel their entire season until further notice. And across the country, at least in the US, a lot of large events are starting to get canceled, and I expect this to continue. Yesterday, we found out also that Tom Hanks and his wife Rita were down in Australia, and they got sick, and they were tested for coronavirus, and they were positive. This was kind of shocking news. Hopefully, they'll get better. All right, so here we have in the South China Morning Post, we have this article. Actually, this was from several days ago, but I thought it was actually a very interesting article, and it studied how the coronavirus kind of transfers and transmits to other people. And they did a study from back in January of how it transferred between people. And it was interesting. This is actually a great article to read. I'm going to kind of include basically all of the links I'm linking to in the video description below. But there was a person in red here, and this person had coronavirus back in January or so. And on this bus, it was a long distance bus, I think, 4-hour bus journey with air conditioning. This one person infected these orange people in the back, orange people here, and orange people here, and possibly also this pink person and also this blue person. Actually, this blue person had coronavirus but didn't have any symptoms. And it's possible that, I don't know, some of these other people might have had coronavirus but just didn't test at all or something, or tested later and it was already gone. And so this one person in a bus, like literally infected 7 people just within this bus, possibly more. It possibly could have infected, half the bus, I don't know. But this just shows like how contagious actually coronavirus is. Check out this article. It shows that, these droplets can stay in the air probably for up to like 30 minutes or so, and it could travel like up to 4.5, meters or so. And so this is not something that's like, easily contained. It's something that's going to be very, very challenging. All right. If you haven't followed me on Twitter, I encourage you to do so. My Twitter account is HeyDave7. You can take a look at that, HeyDave7 on Twitter. And you can take a look at some of my tweets regarding coronavirus. Today I tweeted that this chart is not looking good. Here's the daily kind of cases outside of China. And if you notice, this has just been increasing rapidly. And yesterday there was a big spike, well past 6,000 or 7,000 new cases just within a day. The total cases outside of China, it's increasing rather rapidly. You could see this just steep curve up, approaching 50,000 cases outside of China. Now, several days ago, I was watching this case in South Korea where they're actually finding a decreasing number of new cases that they're reporting in South Korea. And South Korea has actually tested over 100,000 people. And so they've had aggressive testing, and yet their numbers are even dropping. And so I thought that was kind of interesting that South Korea is like a great case of what could happen when certain actions are taking place. So what's happening in South Korea? So here's an article about kind of what's happening in South Korea and how aggressive they're being in terms of testing. And they're saying that nearly 20,000 people are being tested, right, 4 coronavirus per day in South Korea. And this is, you know, a staggering amount compared to what's happening in the US. And I'll go through the numbers in the US shortly. They have these drive-through kind of tents where people can just drive through and take a quick test and get the results within 24 hours. And then they're able to kind of go back and trace all the people, you know, they've been in contact with and try to quarantine and do other preventive measures. So in South Korea, what happened is they actually made sure that people got enough masks. And this is in stark contrast to other countries like the US. Basically, most people, most so-called experts are not encouraging people to wear masks in public for different reasons, like saving it for healthcare workers or, you know, they don't think it's effective. But South Korea was very, very clear. The government made some decisive action that masks were necessary and crucial. And so they actually upped their production of masks in South Korea, and the government made sure that would happen. So they have around 140 companies that make masks to provide 10 million masks a day, right? I mean, if South Korea can do this, why can't the US, right, up their production, the government step in, really just guarantee, you know, millions, if not billions of dollars to get masks for every person in the US? That shouldn't actually be a big problem, but there's a lot of excuses going on in terms of mask production. I think if the US would have started early, let's say back in January, and they would have said, hey, we need 20, 30 million masks per day, let's secure them, let's get them produced, we would have a stockpile of ready 400, 500, if not a billion masks. We could have, you know, a few masks for every person in the US if the US just took action, was decisive, and actually decided masks were an important thing. But there's so much, I think, misinformation going on where people are even doubting the effectiveness of masks. But take South Korea, like masks, like check this picture out, you know? Masks are one of the essential things that they're using to prevent the spread of coronavirus. And if you want to emulate any country in the world right now, you know, you've got to like follow the people who are being effective in spreading, stopping it spread, right? And also in Wuhan, in China, also they were aggressive with masks. So yeah, I mean, we've got to get some clear information out. And I think there's so much, I think, misinformation regarding masks. I think they are effective, especially N95 masks. Wearing them in public places, I think, can reduce the exposure and transmission of coronavirus. And I think over time, if and as this situation unfolds and gets worse, I think people will come to realize that this is actually a wise measure to follow, to wear masks in the public. I think we should have done this months ago. I think it's ridiculous for us to be already in March and for there not to be so-called enough masks and people still to believe this misinformation that they aren't effective at all. Anyways, that's my personal opinion. I think it's going to be backed up by experts. So wait a few weeks. I think we're going to see a massive kind of shift of consensus and opinion of the general public and of so-called experts that are going to now accept, right, the effectiveness of masks or the need to wear masks in public. I think it's inevitable. Anyways, you know, watch out in the next couple of weeks and see how that shift of opinion happens. All right, so on March 7th, so this was last week on Twitter, I was saying this, it's so difficult to predict the future because there are so many variables with so many scenarios, and each scenario is carrying a different probability. But here's my current snapshot thoughts on coronavirus. My thoughts will evolve and change as we get more information. So anyways, this is last week, okay? So we're gonna kind of compare what's happening from last week to this week. Here I'm saying, we're seeing a compound growth of coronavirus outside of China. It's likely by the end of month or sooner, the total number of cases outside of China will outnumber the cases inside of China. So this is happening at the moment. We're going to take a look at the data and numbers, but pretty soon, probably, you know, less than a week or so, we're going to see the numbers outside of China outnumber those inside. Okay, so March is typically flu season for places in the US, so we'll likely see cases spread this month. However, in April, weather warms up when we typically see a sharp drop in the flu, so I would expect this to affect COVID-19 as well. So I did some extra research on this. I'm going to share this in a minute or so, but it looks like it's not like the beginning of April where actually flu season, you know, completely goes away. Actually, during the entire month of April, there's still, you know, significant flu across the US. It's just that it just decreases during the month. So even, you know, toward mid-April, there's still a decent amount. I'm going to share some charts about that. So as the weather warms up, there's a chance that we could see a drop. There's always a scenario that it continues in the US past April. Now, there was a person on Joe Rogan's show a few days ago who was saying that he thinks the warm weather is not going to slow down coronavirus. Now, this is up to debates. You know, people have different opinions about this, but yeah, I think it's possible it does continue in the U.S. past April. To what extent, we'll see. And it's likely that it could spread to the southern hemisphere during its winter season, which is April to September. So we're talking about South America, Africa, right, Australia more. I mean, some of these places have cases so far, but we're talking about massive spread. And for those countries that don't have like a lot of medical infrastructure, this could be actually quite devastating. And if the coronavirus spreads to the southern hemisphere during the winter, then it's likely it's possible that it reemerges in the northern hemisphere during the winter months later this year. So it could come back with a vengeance, right, next winter. Or it could come back, you know, mildly or not come back. There are many different scenarios here, but I think we just need to be aware of what's going on. Yeah, actually, many countries are fortunate coronavirus outbreaks happen later in their flu season. If this coronavirus outbreak happened in November in the U.S. and it had a good five-month run, we would see actually numbers that would be just eye-watering in terms of cases and deaths. The people most vulnerable are those with a compromised or weak respiratory system. If you have a weak or compromised respiratory system or know someone who does, then now is the time to do everything you can to boost your immune system by making big lifestyle changes. I keep on talking about this. This is crucial. You know, you got to boost your immune system, not just to prevent from coronavirus or influenza, which I think is also a big deal, but for a lot of these diseases and things that are coming our way in the future. Revamp your diet to eat the most nutritious foods possible. Cut out the junk. Fight inflammation in your body. Explore supplements. Lots of them. Research more. Practice cleanliness. I'm going to share a few more things about that. Personally, actually, with supplements, for several years, I've been taking actually a ton of them. Every morning, I actually take like probably 20 to 30 various supplements to boost my whole kind of body functioning system. They're natural supplements. I've been doing this for years, and I actually see a lot of results in terms of my health and immunity. If the virus does spread rapidly, then those with weak or compromised respiratory systems ought to consider extreme social distancing. Or even better, if finances allow, to find a temporary living situation that's further away from a dense metro area. Those areas with more density, more people in transit, will probably experience greater spread, right? People, you know, love the cities. They love, you know, what it offers, but there's some cost to it, you know, in cases like this where density is not necessarily the friend, right, of disease. Density is an ally of the spread of diseases like this that are easily transmittable. So something to consider. Some people have been saying, oh, don't worry about, you know, coronavirus because it's no more dangerous than influenza. Well, first, I think influenza is a big deal. It causes a ton of deaths, and people with weak or compromised immune systems should be concerned about influenza. This has been a big concern of myself personally, where, you know, I've gone through a lot of measures over the past 5 to 10 years really to boost my immune system and my family's immune system, because I think actually, yeah, influenza is a big deal. I think people are minimizing it. And coronavirus actually does, I say, you know, according to the data we have, does appear to be more deadly than influenza, right? Influenza is coming, you know, typically has a 0.1%, right, death rate. But we have coronavirus. It's unclear because it all depends on how the testing works, right? Because we're not testing all of the people that actually have coronavirus, because most of the people have mild or very mild symptoms, so they're not being tested at all. But yeah, we're looking at the death rate that's much higher than 0.1%. It could be anywhere, I think, 0.5% or higher. And some people are saying, you know, it can go up to 1.5 or 2%. But I think eventually when the data comes out in South Korea, they're doing a lot more testing, and their death rate is, I think it's below 1%. So I think it's like 0.7%. You can check out the data yourself. And then I say, basically, you know, this is just my snapshot. So this was last week, okay? So on March 7th. So this is a new week. I want to share some thoughts and my thoughts have evolved, because this was kind of a snapshot from last week. So don't take, you know, my last week thoughts as my current thoughts in a sense, because new data is coming. In March 9th, a couple of days ago, I said it's more likely now the cases outside of China will outnumber the cases in China maybe in 1 week. Right, so this, you know, chart is just going up very rapidly. A few days ago, Governor New York announced that he was dispatching the National Guard to New Rochelle community or city, which is about 20 miles away from Manhattan. And this is super concerning because there's a big outbreak there, but it's just so close to the city of Manhattan. And you know how many people ride the subways in Manhattan, and it's just crazy. I mean, if we see a big outbreak in Manhattan, which, you know, I don't see how we're not, I mean, it's going to take extreme measures to actually stop, I think, an outbreak in Manhattan, and it could get very messy. So I decided to take a look at some of the flu seasons in different states to see, like, if coronavirus kind of tracks the spread of influenza, meaning there's a correlation between, you know, how and when, let's say, coronavirus is able to spread together, let's say, in a similar fashion than influenza virus, and let's see what happens, right? And now, sure, this is an assumption. I'm not saying it's 100% guaranteed, but, you know, there's a lot of similarities with influenza in the sense that it's very contagious. I don't think it's a coincidence that this, you know, coronavirus started in about November in China, and it's during, you know, the current flu season. I could be wrong. It could not correlate with the influenza season, but I think there's a chance it could. And if it does, I'm going to see, like, in that scenario, how far or when's the peak, possible peak of this, at least in this current season. In New York, the flu season decreased in April, but it was still significant in April, and it's only March 10th. So I say coronavirus is likely to spread in New York for at least a month. This is based upon if it's correlated with influenza. So if you look here, here's like the March data right about here. And if you notice April, it's starting to go down, but it's still actually quite significant. And it isn't until May where we see like much lower, you know, rates of influenza. All right, let's go to California now. So here's this chart for California over the past 5 years. Typically, influenza is strong in March, but weakens in April. And then in May, it's much weaker. So here's kind of the red dots is like the last year, and the other lines are previous year. So here's March. March is pretty strong, you know, influenza season in California. And then in April, it typically drops significantly, but it's still pretty high, right, in the beginning, in the mid-April. And then by May, right, we're seeing much lower infection rates of influenza. Now that's California. So if you kind of just, you know, go off of this data, and if you make the assumption that coronavirus thrives in, let's say, similar conditions as influenza, then you could say, wow, this is only March. We're still like in kind of like, you know, strong influenza season right now. And so, you know, it's not something that's probably going to go away in a week or two, right? And in April, we might see a drop, but it's still significant. We're looking, you know, probably until May. So we're looking at probably a good month and a half or 2 months before, let's say, influenza really goes down to more lower rates. And so this thing in the US, it's far from over, in my opinion. Yeah, in some ways, it's still early on. Here's another tweet I did a couple days ago. It said, daily new cases outside of China. We got to assume that this is going to grow until we see a good 3 to 4 days of decreasing new cases. So here's daily new cases outside of China. Now, if we're going to see this kind of get under control, we want to see this graph, kind of daily new cases, kind of go down for at least 3 or 4 days, that we've turned a corner, right? Up until now, we've kind of like, this thing is just going up. There's a day or two that going down, but it keeps on going up. Sure, there are different factors involved, like how many tests are being administrated, right, per day, per country, etc. So there's a lot of variables, but this is just a quick kind of snapshot of just generally the new cases confirmed outside of China. So yeah, here's the cases outside of China in orange, and cases inside of China, which is blue. This is going to flip quite soon, and so we're going to see these cases, you know, flip over. About a week ago, actually, I did this interesting spreadsheet here. What we have is I took the coronavirus cases from January 22nd, and I kind of mapped them all out. These are cases outside of China. And so you started just with 9 cases outside of China just a couple months ago. And you notice that the new cases are, you know, popping up. And then I show the daily increase of cases. Let's zoom in a bit here. Yeah, so daily increase of cases. And then you kind of, I did an average daily percent increase over the past 3 days because I kind of wanted to smooth it out a bit. Okay, so here's what you see in this chart here. So you have like, you know, weekend you have 100, then another week you have 200, 300, it goes up to 400, 500, it goes up to 600, right, 1,000. And if you notice, these rates are about 10% or so right now, 5 to 10%, 5 to 10 to 15%, etc. And then February goes on to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Now we're starting to get more significant numbers, right? And now you're starting to see actually the daily percent increase actually is about 15% plus or minus. If you look at the last 3 days, yeah, about 15%. And so Yeah, this thing is growing like rapidly right at this point. And then on March 4th, right, when I inputted all this data initially, we had about 14,000, right, 900 cases or so. And the growth rate was right about, let's say, 16%, maybe a little bit higher or lower. And so at this time, I didn't have this data here. So I just had this data at 14,000. I'm looking at this, I'm like, you know, it's just a matter of time before, you know, this skyrockets to over 100,000. So I said, okay, how can we take a look at this and let's project it, okay, with some projections. And so this is what I did. I went ahead and I said, okay, so here we are on March 3rd. This is the last data I had. This is from last week. I said, this is what we're growing at, about 15%. And if we continue to grow at a 15% compounded rate, let's say in a week or so, we'll have about 40 or 45,000 cases, right? Now, let's compare this to actually what actually happened. Okay, let's go back. And we have on March 11th, we have 45,000 total cases, right? And basically, if you look at the daily compounded growth rate, this is about 15%. So it kind of matched my 15% kind of projection rate that was going on. Yeah, right around 45,000, like plus or minus a day or so. Now, if you extrapolate 15%, which I don't know if you can, so I gave some other scenarios, but I'll show that in a minute. But if you do 15%, extrapolate it out, let's say a week or so, we have 121,000 cases outside of China. So that's, you know, right around day six or seven after today, like we're looking at, you know, cases outside of China surpassing the cases inside of China. And then if the growth rate doesn't go down, right? Let's say we do another 7 days or so, we're looking at 322,000 cases outside of China. And then another several days, we're looking at 560,000 cases outside of China just by the end of this month. And it's, you know, it's very possible, likely this goes on, you know, in April. And the numbers are quite staggering. Now, let's see if we have a projection of 10%. So this is what I did. I said, okay, rather than 15%, this is back on like, you know, March 4th or 5th. I said, what if we grew at 10%? What would happen, right, on a daily basis? And basically what we have is we have a much slower growth rate, right? I mean, you have like 29,000, then you have 50,000 or so, then 100,000, and you end the month at about 177,000. Much more manageable than, let's say, 600,000 or 500,000. But then we also need to take kind of a more pessimistic scenario as a possibility. What if it grows at 20%, right? So this is back when I started calculating it. And I said, okay, at 20%, it grows rapidly to like 40, 53, 64%. And then it grows to the end of the month, it reaches 1.7 million cases outside of China. Now, purely looking at the data over the past, like, you know, a few months, I was thinking, hey, we're looking at something probably in between 10 and 15%. You know, that was, and if it gets really bad, it could go, you know, to the 20% compounded rate. Yeah, right now, I don't know, it looks like it's tracking the 15%, you know, and I think a lot of it depends kind of on the number of tests that are going on. Because if you don't test, then yeah, the numbers could be low. But if you test more, the numbers are going to increase because you're going to find more people. And so let's take a look at some of the testing stuff going on. So here's a CDC website, and it shows like how many tests have been in the US, or at least by CDC labs and US public health labs. And so you have like, you know, about 1,000 a day, right? The past, let's say, week or so. Yeah, you only have a total of like 10,000 or so, you know, tests or so that are taken, maybe 11,000 or so. Here's another kind of spreadsheet that someone's worked down, which they calculated 7,000 cases. I think it's more than that, with over 1,000, you know, positive cases in the US. I think the case in point though is in the US, let's say they've tested 10 or 15,000 people so far, and they've come up with, let's say, you know, well over 1,000 cases. Contrast that to South Korea, which is testing 20,000 people per day. Right? It's like the US hasn't even tested 20,000 people in the past, you know, 2-3 months. And South Korea does this in one day. And I think when you see more testing that will happen in the US, you're going to see the numbers of new cases in the US skyrocket dramatically, because you know, people are being tested. You have a lot of reports of doctors and hospitals turning away patients because they just can't test them. They don't, you know, they're not in this super severe case, and so they have to just turn them away. I think as test kits become more available, as the priority for testing increases, and by the way, I think it's ridiculous that it's taking the U.S. so long to be able to even test, you know, 1,000 people per day, you know, why can't we test much more, you know, higher numbers? It's all about preparation. It's all about just, I think, taking the right steps, even a month or 2 months ago, right, when there was more time available. But all that said, I think, you know, what's the most likely scenario in the short term, let's say in the next couple of weeks, is that as the U.S., and I'm talking just about the U.S. right now, because it's such a complex global situation, but in the U.S. right now, I think number of cases is going to skyrocket within the next 1 to 2 weeks. I mean, we're looking at probably quickly surpassing the 5,000, right, confirmed cases, probably within 4 to 5 days, if not 6 days, and then probably surpassing the 10,000 confirmed case number, probably, I'm guessing, in a good 8 to 10 days or so. I mean, max 2 weeks, I think. And here's the thing, once you start passing certain numbers, like you pass the 5,000 case number, the government is going to be forced to take some dramatic action, state government, local government, federal governments, etc. We're going to see some massive closing down of events, of gatherings. I think once we pass 5,000, if not 10,000 for sure, we're going to see massive closing down of local schools. Yeah, I'd be very surprised in 2 weeks if we have, you know, any public schools open in California. At least that's where I live right now. Across the country, I mean, probably most schools will be closed. And once, like, these cases, confirmed cases, let's say, past 10,000 cases in the U.S., then, yeah, we're looking at some massive, like, measures where, you know, it'd be more difficult to travel. Like, for example, Trump just banned tourist travel from Europe to the U.S. But think about it. If U.S. has over 10,000 cases, where can U.S., you know, citizens or green card holders, where can they travel to, right? All these other countries are going to be blocking the U.S., but not just blocking the U.S., they'll have a whole list of countries that they're blocking people from coming in. And so we're going to have a massive kind of, I think, closure of international borders. And this is something that's, yeah, I don't think people like completely grasp what's going to happen. They see the numbers right now as like, oh, 1,000, right? They see like, oh, cases, you know, whatever, 100,000 globally, including China, etc. But I think once we start to get into these bigger numbers, you know, we're talking about like hundreds of thousands of cases globally, and tens of thousands of cases in certain countries. This stuff is going to, you know, sink in more. And I think in 7 to 10 days, things are going to be radically different than they are now. In 2 weeks, yeah, it's going to be a completely different situation. People are going to realize the severity of the situation more in 2 weeks than they do right now. It's actually right now, for example, in California, in the U.S., I think there are a lot more people with coronavirus than people realize, because there just isn't much testing being done. If there was a large amount of testing, we'd uncover a large amount of cases, and those people would be more careful, and people in general would be more careful. But right now, you know, no one's wearing masks like outside in public places. People are just going about their daily business. Schools are in session. All this stuff is just happening slowly, one by one. Large public gatherings are being closed. But I think this is just the beginning. The next 2 weeks in the U.S. is going to be dramatic. It's going to be severe, I think. And the data is showing, unless something crazy happens where we can stop this virus like in its tracks immediately, you know, we're talking about compound growth. This is like a crazy powerful, you know, function here. Compounding growth is just crazy. And that's what we're facing right here, a very contagious virus that is much more severe than I think the influenza virus in terms of its impact and death rate. Anyways, here's an update, and I'm going to share some more things as I wrap up. Now, everyone's situation is very different and complex. You might be in a different country, in a different region. Your region might be heavily affected by coronavirus or might not. So I'm speaking in context of kind of being in California at this moment. And I think it's very important to actually be prepared and be aware of what's going on. So the question is, how can I be prepared personally? The first thing is, I think, is protecting your health and the health of those around you. Actually, I think there are several things you can do here. If you need to go to any public places or places that are frequent trafficked, I encourage you to consider actually wearing a mask. And if you're touching anything, let's say in public places, let's say you're touching doorknobs or you're touching anything, spray your hands with hand sanitizer. What's even better is you can carry like a bunch of napkins or tissue paper and stuff, or even some extra type of disposable gloves. And you can use that to kind of open doors or shut off kind of public light switches or touch any surfaces that other people have touched. I also think it's wise to actually err on the caution with social distancing, meaning I think if you don't need to go, let's say, to a restaurant, you don't need to go to a gathering or outing, or you don't need to be out and about, then it's probably wise to keep in your house and keep kind of away from most people. I think as the numbers of confirmed cases just increase over the next few weeks, we're going to see a lot more concern and a lot more people starting to take action. But I think what's important is to take action even right now. I think the attitudes toward coronavirus and its severity is going to change day by day as the cases increase. And because I think it's important actually to have your necessary supplies and your necessary food items on hand. I think you want to kind of prepare for kind of a severe situation or a severe possible situation. And part of that means taking action and getting prepared yourself and for your family. I think it's important actually to reach out to your family and friends who are older and who perhaps are more kind of susceptible, let's say, to coronavirus and its impact. Make sure they understand what's going on and make sure they understand what they could do to help protect themselves. And lastly, I've shared this multiple times in the past, but I think it's essential to boost your immune system. I think this is more of a longer term kind of endeavor effort, and I want to share this more in future videos, but I want to plant the seed right now. I think boosting your immune system is crucial, not just for coronavirus, but in the future, especially for more pandemics or more diseases that could come our way. As I mentioned before, the coronavirus situation is changing on a daily basis. If you want to get updated on my current thoughts on coronavirus, please follow me on Twitter at HeyDave7. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, I encourage you to do so. We're looking at investment, business, finance topics from different angles. We're trying to get beneath the surface of things and try to look at the essence of what's going on. Please like this video, add a question or comment, and share this video with as many people as you can. It'll help out the channel. Anyways, good luck and we'll see you in the next video. Thanks.